Thank you very much. Colleagues, we at this stage begin to receive further feedback and responses from SACS with regard to the previous round of questions and also the additional questions. So we also go to the additional round. Thank you very much. General Satori, welcome.
Hey, Honorable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. Chair, the two questions were confirmation questions by Honorable Martin, Honorable Chair, which I think General Governor responded to. The third question that required a response was the one of the psychometric tests here, yeah, what follow up. I think, Chair, one, the psychometric test, the basic entry type of a test. The moment members get into the organization, vetting takes over, lifestyle audit takes over, and continuous integrity testing is also takes over. So those are the three that are made as a follow up as the member continues to set in the organization. And there are also instructions to that effect. And then, Chair, the average age is between 35 and 39 at the present moment in the organization. Not too bad yet. But we are trying to get more new blood. That's why we decided to increase the recruitment to 5,000. Yeah, so that we are able just to make it friendly with the medium and high risk forces who also have the same challenge, but also trying to get more blood. Then, Chair, the sub budget allocated for training. So, General, you can talk to the Commission, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, I'm just going to talk in terms of the previous financial the total in terms of the work program that we put together, 374 million, 375,000. And then with a 2% of the TLC, it became 311 million, which was the previous financial year. This is a whole total budget for the division. So that is not the way that you say this one is also way to do this. 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 This is for the previous financial year of the 2018.
Thank you.
In the financial year that we will be able to give you the investment percentage on human capital, where we will then be saying this is the percentage of the budget that goes to human capital investment, which will include all the new development in the chain. Going to respond on the clarification of what is integrity testing and therefore in English. What is it that?
Thank you.
Honorable Chair, thank you. Honorable Chair, I'm here with the four in English and the head of ESW, Major General Kemba, will unpack integrity testing itself. Chair, we indicated that we received 517,000 applications. I know the Honourable Member did mention that we are in a problem with statement taking and the like. So with the recruits, we went deeper in terms of the metrics to look at some we know that currently we're on the metric certificate. You have seven, it's got a distinction between 70 and 79, you get a six. When we say four in English, we expected that applicant to have at least between 50 and 59% on the English passing rate of metric itself. down into the symbol of the applicants as well. I think because of the number of applications you have, Honorable Chair, and you want the best of South African police, you want the best of the country. And you're talking to the National Development Plan of which to professionalize in South African police force. So when you talk to four in English, that is the interpretation of
primarily in English. So we don't want to create new gaps
in those links in the chain by perhaps giving more emphasis to what vulnerable markets are talking about. We just have the more specialization within the SAPS environments and make sure they're properly and well linked and interfaced so we can maximize and optimize on each of those. Let's get the best operational officer for Giani, but the best statement writer for the buckets coming out of Giani when they go to the high courts.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. In terms of the testing, General Chamber will respond with the Commission Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The testing is a tool that we are currently using as a way to deal with the issue of corruption and heavy elements in the organization. It's an international tool that is derived from what we call an integrity profile 200, where there are constructs and items of about 200 that you derive from, which I use also to test countries in corruption survey. That is the level of corruption in a country like South Africa was ending at number 73 or 250 that it is. So maybe the tool is aimed at taking individual performance towards the competitive behavior or counterproductive behavior within the workspace. What we usually do, looking at the mandate of the organization, then out of the IP 200, we take the construct that will be more relevant to the environment. So SAP is definitely as we have identified first, but we are strictly assessing on one concept, which mainly are talking to the levels of aggression from the individual, which we are trying to address also the issue of the handedness and the frame that are directed to happen, and also the issue of manipulation, that we talk to manipulation of the clients that you are operating to, the crime set and all other issues. And then we can also talk to risk-taking behavior and rule defiance, because it's an organization, we're a rule-based organization. We also look at the negative effect. That is, how do you engage or empathize or try to understand the person that you're dealing with? And so mainly those will be the key aspects that we are looking at. So it is some kind of an on top of the psychometric test that we are doing in order to ensure that we are bringing in the higher quality.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. There was a question about the Fadi University Corridor, a couple to the link. The teacher, let me confirm that yes, the South African Minister has established link with other teacher institutions. They are linked to the training and development strategy. Then the PAL program is part and parcel of the review of the training and development strategy. We are also discussing on it so that we correctly fit it into the particular strategy. The next one is the The investigation, an internal investigation, was initiated. The preliminary findings suggest that the company reflected on does not exist. Yes, I think there's a company name mentioned. And I'm saying in terms of the preliminary findings. And then the final report will be signed off by myself so that we then respond on this particular matter. But indeed, the internal investigation was initiated.
So, what's going on at the top?
If I could just ask, even once that we're done with, how long will it take you? Because there are endless reports, in fact, from the board, the DNA board even. Gave a presentation the other day saying they're running out, they've run out of buccal swabs. Now, how long will it take to get a new contract, to get the new supply going and spread out and delivered around the country.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think I have instructed that particular process from both the supply chain and CFO function point of view. But the IFEDA says, in view of the seriousness of the subject, if we can't make it with service providers, find those service providers in the country, then we better open it international.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. And then,
just a moment, General Scully. Thank you. Honorable Kelvin. Yes.
No, maybe I can forget. I heard General talking about which I think is more at a higher level, not necessarily entry level. How possible, General, maybe, that some kind of, I'm worried about the non-reviewal of the curriculum, existing curriculum, because that basic, to me, that is a basic thing that will actually then talk of a kind of an output that we need before one can go for specialization and all that, in order to be able to fill up the gap that is currently existing within our police. And that's why I was making, for example, an example about capabilities of our detectives and all that, based on that outcry that was there to say, hey, maybe call upon those that are tired and all that, because there is no new blood coming in with necessary expertise into the system. How can it be that, for example, in our visit to China, they've got a central university, whereby it's that is the minimum requirement is that every police officer in China, just at a basic level, must have a degree because of that. And then, from there, then the research unit within that university that do tracking of those trainees on the ground, getting a clear feedback from the chain of command about their performance in order to upgrade the curriculum in order to meet the requirements of the changing environment of crime, threatens, so that there is no vacuum. So every time their intake comes into the system, they bring quality that is informed by the changing environment. Yes, of course, experience, they will attain experience as they operate on the ground, but that is informed by the qualitative nature of training that they have received right from the basic level. But yeah, if then we move like this, I don't really think that we will be able to actually then compensate this space that exists, which is a vacuum, that will ensure that before one can go for specialization in different fields. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. General, you are prepared.
With your permission, Chair, General, when you take the first item.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, our curricula is continuously reviewed in line with changes in the education and also situational analysis. It is also a fact that we are a developing country. We are not yet in a situation where we can recruit those with NQF6 only. There will be, amongst the trainees that we have recruited, some of them will be having NQF6, and most of them will be those with matriculation. But also this year, we have decided that other than the 5,000 recruits that we'll be taking, we will be focusing on a group of NQF6, where we will also look into the issue of shortening the period, the issue of specialization, which I think does talk to some of the issues that the honorable member is raising. But also, I think there will be a need for us maybe to buy it later so that we can have a better understanding in terms of the experience that the Honorable Chair would have gathered in China so that we can also benchmark and could assist us as well. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. General Sikori.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the Honorable Member is looking at the property. And my response is, yes, because of now. And two, the curriculum, the basic for training curriculum is currently under review by virtue of the instruction that I've given to the HRPA already. And through the existing link, she is consulting with some other university institutions like UNISA and others. But if there's a suggestion and a view that there's certain others who can take on board, we will do so. But presently, the curriculum is under review. The other thing that I also wanted to add, which I said must be current part of the review of the training and development strategy, is the detective training academy. So we are then going to have a dedicated investigation academy. And that detective training academy will deal with both crime detection and DPI. That's right. So the timing of the question is correct. And the timing of the input is also correct because we are already there. I think from my side, I just need to appreciate the input. And that it just came to me. And it's doable. And it will be done, Chair. Then, Chair, the 12-month probation period. I think the 12-month probation period is linked to the induction. In the induction plan of those that are graduating from the college into the field. But I also then wanted to add that the succession plan in the organization has been formalized. So those who graduate from the profession, they are absorbed into the junior corps, into the participative management context. And they would then grow through those streams to middle management, and then thereafter to senior management. So I think that process is also provided for now in the turnaround and it's linked to aspects. Then Chair, the question of field training officers. Maybe we just need to be very open to the community and say field training officers were withdrawn by virtue of an instruction that was given before my term. But when we interacted on the review of the training and development strategy, I said field training is part and parcel of back to basics, and I ordered it to be in restoration. But what is going to happen now? It is going to start with a work study. And once we are through the work study, then they will be deployed. What I can only say to the committee is that I've ordered the restoration of the field training officer, and they will be deployed. Then ensuring that only those that are deserving get employed through the recruitment. I think firstly, I have instructed the location of the recruitment officers across the country that no one should stay more than 12 months in that particular environment because there's a likelihood of contamination. But General Uwenya has designed a rotation policy. That rotation policy has been finalized. It only needs to be implemented. My second instruction has been that all of them must go through vetting. And I've directed General Zumani to run a project on that, because we must just make sure they are vetted. Then over and above vetting, there's also going to be random lifestyle audit and integrity checking. But it will be done formally by means of police. All those shall be linked to that. And by so doing, we are not suggesting that they are corrupt. We just want to respond to perception. So that you do not have the community living with those particular perceptions and not just see what we're doing. The final part, I said the recruitment process must be linked to the community policing strategy so that we also deal with perception management through that particular strategy. So those are what will be happening. The chair of the bogus people recruiting. Yes, we've already an investigation from crime detection as well as DPCI. But further to that, I have also directed that we should put an upfront intelligence exercise so that we can pick these people up, because it's not people that are in the system. They are outside the system, but they are contaminating our system. They are taking its reputation away. And it's pure criminal element. So CI, as well as the investigation family, they are looking at it. Previously, yes, they were arrested, but only from inside. But I think this exercise is then going to assist us. We've responded to enough to the curriculum evolution. The only emphasis I can make is that the training and development research unit has been beefed up so that it can respond to criminal advancement. The training colleges, Chair, I would actually encourage that honorable members visit the colleges. Yes, I think it can also assist us, because those observations, they will come back to the committee. And I think we would know how to plan better to make sure that they are actually effective, that is enough. But from our side, our internal mechanisms will also then continue. With your permission, Chair, I would ask General Wayne to clarify on the recruitment board and the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The recruitment board, as we have seen on the slide, it consists of senior managers of the South African Police Service. The senior managers of the South African Police Service are required, all of them, to have a security clearance, but you will also have some whose security clearance will have expired, and they continuously apply for a new security clearance. I must indicate that at this stage we have not made it a requirement. However, moving forward in line with the directive from the National Commissioner, we are going to ensure that those who sit in the board do have the security clearance that is still valid. The other part is that it's not only senior managers of the SAPS, it includes members of the community police forum emanating from the the recruitment strategy, which includes community-based it includes the community-based strategy. Yes, the fingerprint, in terms of the fingerprint system as to whether it is effective for recruitment, what we have done, we ensured that the fingerprints are not taken at the police station. The fingerprints of the recruits are taken by the recruitment officers just prior to them undergoing a physical assessment, and I think the other part of it is that we ensure that there is that segregation of responsibility or functions to ensure that we don't have a situation where same people are doing different functions, because that they also contribute towards corruption.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The member being prepared to serve anywhere in the country is actually linked to the personal circumstances of this particular person. That is first, but secondly, the availability of accommodation. All those is the package that will inform the deployment of this particular person. Then the strict survival has been explained, but the bigger rationale and the why we wanted it to be, we wanted to invest on it, is actually the current trend in which our members are getting killed or getting injured, robbed firearms. It's one of the measures to enhance the police safety strategy. And it's also one of the reasons why we decided to review the base training, so that the quality that we take out there, and if that particular member is to stand against the criminal, it must be proven who is the police, man or woman. And then, Chair, the mentorship and coaching, I will give the specific difference at the present moment in terms of the organization. The mentorship in the organization currently is running through a formal mentorship strategy. So which then means all environments are bound to implement the mentorship strategy. And the members who are subjected as mentees, they also have formal development plans and their career pathing and quite a lot of those. Then they grow. That is into the organization. The coaching is more of a commander's responsibility, supervisor responsibility, and more of a field issues on the job. Yeah, that is the training. That's how at the present moment they are taking place. The Palam Commission's recommendation, I think the training of public order has been upgraded from 3 days to 2 weeks. From 2 days to 3 weeks. So I think we have complied, and this particular training is also subject to evaluation, is also subject to review, because we're also among others looking at the public order modus operandi within the modus operandi environment that is the analysis center. And then it's also fed to training and development research, because Our strength here is lying with the training and development research. If any new development comes, then training and development research must actually assist us so that they can tell us whether are we still fine with the current training curriculum. The last question, I will hand it over to HR with the permission, Chair, is on the staff's rejuvenation program.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. What we have done within the SAPS, after realizing that for a number of years we have not been having a situation where we were having our senior managers being exposed to programs, we have reviewed the executive development program, and we have decided that effective in the next financial year, we are going to ensure that the senior managers within the South African Police Service get an opportunity to undergo the executive development program. And as we send members for the development programs, we are going to ensure that there is a generational mix, which will ensure that whenever some are leaving, there are those who will be taking over from the ones who will have undergone the program.
Thank you very much. Is that all the responses, General? Thank you. Members, any? Yes, Honourable Zaire, last round.
thank you, Chairperson. Just three quick questions for the second round. Just to sort of try my bearing. So the first question springboards from the fact that a key pillar of the National Development Plan proposals for policing reforms is the entrenchment of evidence-based policing. So that in that way we can avoid the kind of disastrous decisions like the disbandments of specialized units in the mid-2000s, which we're still recovering from. And that's important because we know that specialization is key to effective policing in some environments. So my question, Chair, is how does the recruitment and training model give effects or facilitate and enable officers or training and serving officers to specialize in such a way that we can leverage and harness their aptitude and their where they can be the most effective in terms of serving the public. And then my last two questions, Chair, are just to get a response from the Commissioner, because Pop Crew wasn't here to directly present their submission. There were 2 points in it that I would just like to get a response from the Commissioner if these are proposals being discussed, or they're going to be the subject of a work study and the ongoing review process. With the first point being the proposal from Pop Crew that the current number of annual intake be doubled to make it a total figure of 6,000 annually. So just that doubling of the intake numbers. I mean, obviously one understands there are implications around current capacity, resources, etc. But just whatever response that the Commissioner can give. And then the second one is if it could respond to Pop Crew's submission that training for officers be increased to a 36-month program so that the final qualification is equivalent to a national diploma. That's it.
Thank you very much. Honorable Muller.
Thank you, Chairperson. What lessons have been learned thus far from the reform training program? Are there areas that can be improved? My last question in slide 4, people's office budget in our is not the second from last. To enhance the recruitment of applicants from the minority group, white color, Indian, segment, and in general. How are you going to make sure that colleges have minority groups? And how are you going to balance that? Because last year in the news, Chairperson, there was this general who was fired from that, who was beginning from the child, what is it, from college. They said he was fired for racism. Can you please, General, so that explain that? Because I didn't understand what racism is, because she was working in college. Thank you, General.
Thank you. Honorable Abaji.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on the at entry level where you have graduates, how do you treat them? Do they undergo the same training with the matriculants, or do they have an advantage of some kind with graduates? My second one is on what are the chances of including some African languages in the training? That's all.
Honourable Bailey. Thank you, Honourable Morabanti.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I forgot some, a second part to my first question around specialization factoring into recruitment and selection. Sorry, recruitment and training, which is this little factoid from ISS research, which indicated that, and it was based on an analysis of the crime stats two financial years ago, I think it was, which indicated findings that indicated that 73% of murders in particular, but I think that there'd be a similar profile when it comes to many other crime categories, 73% of murders take place in just 25% of police precincts. And I know that the Commissioner has spoken to the kind of analysis happening in the police service in terms of your top 30 stations and that sort of thing. So if you could also explain how, given the point about evidence-led policing, how the awareness and knowledge of these kind of profiles for crime categories then influences the recruitment and the training. Because like I said, if you don't get it right at that starting point of the value chain, it makes things difficult further down, especially in responding to these kind of issues. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much. Thank you, colleagues, National Commissioner, and your team.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much, Honorable Members, for your question. Chair, they will add on the operational side. I first wanted to talk to the strategic base for evidence-based policy. Firstly, what we have provided for in the turnaround meeting is the evaluation of the structure of the organization. The revival, like for instance, of the specialized unit, is part of the agenda of the turnaround. But this time, they're coming in with a package. There's an evaluation tool that is attached to it. And all structures, they are going to be evaluated when we issue a performance report. The performance report must talk to three things. One is the performance of the structure, and we need the evidence. Whether the current structures, are they not actually becoming a hindrance to effective policy? And are we responding to what is the priority of the organization? The second one is the performance of the budget. Is the budget utilized where it matters? And does it also talk to? And when you put the two together, are they leading to improved policy? Because sometimes it happens but policing does not improve. Or we invest on this, but the client continue with an outcry. And therefore, that is the part of the evidence-based policy. If we have to review the structures, and then we must be informed by that particular evidence. And specialization is part of the agenda. Then, Chair, the questions by Pope. Let me first confirm that the matters raised by FOCU are part of the discussion in terms of the turnaround. And it's both FOCU and SAP who have shared the turnaround meeting with all organizations. And they made their input. I'm not sure whether I listened very well to the first one, the proposal that they want the current intake to be doubled to 6,000. And we have already made a decision, we have increased it to 5,000. So we are just 1,000 below the proposal by COPRO. But what also informs the 5,000 is also the capacity that our training colleges can absorb. at the present moment. Because what is informing the review of this figure, Honorable Chair, is also the ratio gap between the police to the public, which I think talks to the UN approved that is ratio. We're trying to close that gap. The minister has also taken some steps to approach that is cabinet, while we've approached treasury, and he has also even taken the matter to the president. So we are sharing the same point with our group. The proposal with regard to taking the training to 36 months, I would obviously not give a cut and dry response on the spot because I have ordered the review of the training and development strategy, which the divisional commissioner is attending to. But this point is taken as an input as we review the strategy. The outcome will then be dictated by the outcome of the review of the strategy. The lessons learned from the reform training, I would allow HRC to take a advice on it.
Thank you, General. I think for this one, maybe if it's possible for the National Commissioner, we do the routine submission in terms of the lessons, because we have to go and do the army to analyze the effect studies that were conducted, and then we get the lessons that we learn in terms of the effect of the training, and what can we improve other than that, by talking about the higher level.
That's fine. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that permission, Chair. Chair, the enhancing the recruitment of minority groups, I think firstly, the recruitment strategy has provided that from the community-based approach. But part and parcel of that, when we started doing the presentation, we touched on the regulatory framework. And a key in the regulatory framework are the transformation directives, which includes that is your effort. At the present moment, we have noted this as a challenge to get more of the minority groups. And we have directed that our recruitment team should also extend to them, and the community policing strategy. We also then want to make use of it so that we get more closer and closer to them. So it is a priority as we speak with the Honorable Chair. And then Chair, the general bias for racism. It's a process that started through the regulation. And it followed the regulation and it was concluded. But there's provision in the same regulation for remedies in case the affected person might not have been treated right, or there was some flaws that arise from the application of the regulation. I think this is what I can say about this matter at the present moment, because it has not reached a final stage. There are some processes that we are following, and I might also jeopardize it. But I can only indicate it follows the regulation and they're up to the stage waiting. And then the training of graduates and the matriculants. Unfortunately, at the present moment, they are all put together. They are not separated. Unless in future there could be some consideration, we are taking the question as an input that we look into it. I'm also saying so because I'm sure Social Movement will also have the technical college that also produces your national diploma. Graduate, they are in policing and fighting all that. So that also requires us to look at that particular review, but we are linking it to the review of the training and development strategy. The consideration of the African languages, Chair, at the present moment, we are the country that is leading on the Africa concept of policy in the continent. And several countries, they share each other. I think what we are working on is the customization of policy into the African system. But we're not saying African languages would be, they might be part of the consideration. Yes, so we will be looking at it as the Africa concept of policy and continue to unfold. The skill profile versus the recruitment, I think firstly let me speak about your stabilization approach, because your stabilization follows your high density areas that is of crime. Then beyond your stabilization, the moment you stabilize, you go on normalization. From normalization, then you follow the geographical approach. The geographical approach is a permanent exercise, because once we have normalized, we will only be driven now by certain geographical areas, which we will then fire extinguish through stabilization. And the recruitment also then speaks to that. Maybe I would give a practical example. Because at some stage I was in the Northern Cape, there was a member from Port Lawrence who was deployed at Bristol. And this woman in Southend, she sees 10,000 meals in 2 minutes. And in Bristol, 2 in 2 weeks. And she could not cope, and she passed out in the system. She fell. And I had to transfer her back to hospital. Now, then take a person from that particular side, deploy this person in Gauteng. I think firstly everyone is working fast in Gauteng. Yeah, in life, you know. Yeah, if you are not streetwise, you can't police in Gauteng. Otherwise, the criminal is going to arrest you and put you at the back of the van. So, Honorable Chair, what I'm trying to say here is that the geographical approach should also drive your recruitment approach. Yeah, so that it talks to that and it responds to that. That also includes even your specialization. It should also then talks to your geographical approach, so that whenever we saw focus, we must be able to keep the crime and the modus operandi in those particular areas. Then we also have here the fastest, the most rapid growing cities in the country. I think the two is Witbank and Rustenburg. So in those two cities, you also need the type of members who would be able to run with the pace of the growth of that particular city and be able to contain the situation. So you're not thinking about the criminal only, you're thinking about the modus operandi, you're thinking about the growing situation. So I'm just trying to respond to say what we're working on in terms of the recruitment strategy is an alignment, a strategic alignment to the solidarity response to that. I'm sure this was the last question, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Probably the last, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. It's not a question, so I'm not lengthening the sitting. It's just to add, if I may, perhaps call it the cherry on top of what the Commissioner has just said about the alignments of various processes, recruitment, training, specialization, stabilization, normalization, whatever it is, based on the evidence-based needs, which is simply to say that the reason why anti-cyber crime capacities around the world do not recruit computer science students from the university, they recruit former hackers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honourable members, for putting questions. Thank you to the National Commission team. I think it lies a good basis to understand the current progress with regard to the changing of the curricula and also the other developments. But I think also for the committee, the Sixth Parliament will have to focus also again on the issue of training, looking at the training colleges, visit them. So I think that is maybe some of the issues that the staff must convey to the incoming committee. Thank you very much, honourable members. We will tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock meet with regarding to the CI. Thank you very much.
Where?
Sir.
Where?
Where? Where? Where? Where? Where?
Thank you.